The Rags off to a good start today, huh?
This is my change purse, very high fashion. Wow. Well, it's partner got holy.
It doesn't look very heavy. Good morning and welcome to the June 22nd, 2017 meeting of the San Luis Obispo County Planning Commission. It saddens me to announce that our first district planning commissioner, Dan Del Campo, passed away last Friday at his home in Oak Shores. Would you please stand and join me in a moment of silence for Dan? Thank you. Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Commissioner Hawkins?
Here.
Commissioner Harrison?
Present.
Commissioner Moultrie?
Here.
Chairman Campbell?
Here. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, I'm going to open for public comment for those items that are not agenda-sized on today's agenda. And I have a slip here from Eric Greening. Would you like to come forward, please, Eric? Bring your money with you.
I am Eric Greening, and other sad news is that the person who appointed Mr. Del Campo just lost his dad.
Yeah.
And actually was missing from the Air Pollution Control District meeting yesterday because of the memorial service for his dad, which means he may not get right around to appointing someone else right away, but we will be very understanding of that. But something came up, well, it was quite an Air Pollution Control District meeting, and I think there may be a need for county planning and your commission to be involved in some issues which have largely gone around this part of the county. There was a huge, it lasted almost 5 hours, and it was almost exclusively devoted to very controversial issues relative to OHV use in the dunes, including the county-owned La Grande tract and the huge plume of particulate pollution that is affecting the health of people downwind. And the players have been the Air Pollution Control District, state parks, and the Coastal Commission, as if somehow all the planning in that area of the local coastal plan is now just de facto local coastal commission. I know they found substantial issue on some issues back in the past, but the concern is this. First of all, the Mr. Fusi from State Park showed a map showing historic riding area going way south to Point Sal and talking about plans to use other public lands, state and county lands, my ears pricked up at county, to expand the riding area if it has to be closed in some of the most emissive areas. And I'm wondering what other county lands those are, and of course, what would be the planning issues relative to opening other access points farther south and so on, as well as the health issues for people like farm workers if you decide, well, the agricultural land is more disposable for plumes of dust. That isn't completely true. People live there and a lot of people work there. But the other The other issue is the Coastal Commission, as the sort of de facto planning authority there, does not usually consider health and safety issues. They don't have to consider health and safety, make health and safety findings for their local planning. Local government, such as the county, does. I think this might be a good time for the Planning Commission to schedule a study session on the local coastal plan issues around the riding area, the county responsibilities relative to the La Grande Tract and other potential expansion areas, both county-owned and otherwise, possible alternate entrances, and where and how the county can get into the mix of the decision-making about this and not just leave it to the Coastal Commission, State Parks, and the APCD. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Anyone else wishing to participate in open public comment? Seeing none, I will close public comment. Turn to commission business and planning staff updates.
Yes, good morning.
Ms. Carroll.
Good morning, commission and everyone. Ellen Carroll, I'm the planning manager and environmental coordinator. And I'll give you an update and look ahead on your upcoming planning commission schedules. All of the items that I'm going to go over are tentative, as I say every other week, but I think I need to make sure that I say that every other week. Your next meeting is July 13th, and you have five items on that date. You have the POCO Power Project, which is a solar facility. That was a continued item. That's in the San Luis Obispo area. The Templeton Hills Group 22-lot residential subdivision, that's in the Templeton area. You have a Verizon Wireless project, which is in southeast of the city of Arroyo Grande. There's a variance in the Cambria area, and then the Woodlands Assisted Facility conditional use permit, and that's in the Napomo area. So those are the five items for tentatively scheduled for July 13th. The next meeting after that is July 27th, and Commissioner Hawkins will be absent on that date. We have two items, and then we're also going to have a study session on the cannabis ordinance and issues. So that we'll do a study session after the two items. And those two items are a parcel map and conditional use, a third time extension for a project in Los Osos, Sweet Springs area, and then the Paso Truck Stop land use ordinance amendment. And then we'll do those first, and then we'll do the study session. The next date is August 10th, and we have that full day scheduled for actually the hearing on the cannabis ordinance. So we have the whole day scheduled for that, no other items on that date. August 24th is the next date after that, and Chairman Campbell will be absent on that date. And we have five hearing items tentatively scheduled. We have a parcel map and a conditional use permit in the Templeton area. We have three wireless facilities on that date, two of them in the Arroyo Grande area and one out in California Valley. And then we have the county Cambria TDC program amendments also to be discussed on that date. Those are the five items tentatively scheduled. After that is a little bit too far to look ahead and predict, so I'll stop right there. And if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer. Otherwise, that's it from me.
Any questions, commissioners?
Thank you.
Seeing none, we will move on to our consent agenda. Anything that the commissioners wish to withdraw from the consent agenda for separate study? Pretty short group this time. I'll entertain a motion.
I'd move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please. Ravona.
Commissioner Moultrie.
Yes.
Commissioner Hawkins.
Yes.
Commissioner Harrison.
Yes.
Chairman Campbell.
Yes. That motion is carried. We will now move on to the one hearing item we have for today, and ask for that to be introduced by our secretary.
Item number four is a request by the Cayuca Sanitary District for a conditional use permit and a development plan coastal development permit. County file number DRC 2016-00063. Supervisorial District number two, Erlen Singwall, project manager.
Thank you, and good morning, Mr. Chair and Commissioners. I am Erlon Singwald, Planning Department staff. So this item is a request by the Cayuga Sanitary District for a conditional use permit and a development plan and a coastal development permit to allow for construction of the Cayuga Sustainable Water Facility. I want to start off by saying our presentation this morning is going to be a team approach. We've actually been meeting with the Cayuga Sanitary District on a regular basis for the past year as they prepared the environmental impact report as the lead agency under CEQA. So we are well coordinated. I'm going to give an overview of the project, but we also have the Cayuga Sanitary District's EIR consultant, as well as their district manager and their engineering consultant in the room to answer some more of the detailed questions that your commission may have. So this slide here describes the project description. So the proposed project is a wastewater treatment plant, solar array, and landscaping in an approximately 8-acre development area. The proposed treatment plant would have a capacity of about 300,000 to 400,000 gallons per day to serve the existing and build-out population of Cayucas. The project would apply about 40 acre feet of treated water to ag land near the treatment plant. Also, the project involves construction of pipelines and conveyance infrastructure from an existing lift station to the proposed treatment plant. Also, it's important to point out that the environmental impact report that you have also describes phase two of the project, which is to deliver advanced treated water back north to the community of Cayucas. However, that's not part of this project description. That's a phase that would happen in the future and require subsequent permitting. Additionally, the overall project also involves work within the city of Morro Bay, which of course would require a coastal development permit from that jurisdiction. So that element of the overall project is not included in this permit. So this slide here breaks down the work in the inland area and the coastal zone. So in the inland area is where the proposed treatment plant, solar arrays, and landscaping would be installed. About 1,800 feet of the pipeline trenching will be in the inland area, and overall there's about 9 acres of site disturbance in the inland area. Now in the coastal zone, the project involves about a half mile of new pipelines in the Torrey Creek Road right away, as I'll show in future exhibits. Of that half mile, about 800 feet would be directionally bored underneath Toro Creek and an archaeological site. And overall in the coastal zone, in the unincorporated area, we have about 0.65 acre of site disturbance. As I mentioned earlier, the Cayuga Sanitary District is the lead agency under CEQA. Even though the county has permitting authority, the CSD is the main agency that would be responsible for implementing the project, so they have the lead agency status under CEQA. The EIR provided a project level of analysis of both the proposed project and an alternative site. Since the CSD is pursuing the proposed project, that's what's evaluated in your staff report and what we're considering today. Also, as I explained, the EIR evaluated the entire project, including phase two and the tie-in to the ocean outfall, which is in the city of Morro Bay jurisdiction. The EIR identified significant unavoidable impacts related to tsunami hazards, construction noise, and agriculture. Of those three impact areas, only impacts to agriculture, only class one, significant and unavoidable impacts to agriculture, will be present in the unincorporated area. And the county's role under CEQA is as responsible agency, because even though we're not the lead agency, we have permitting authority over the project. So this slide is the vicinity map. This slide has quite a bit of important information here. So I'll start off pointing out the area in green. This is the Estero Plain area, and it's also it represents the coastal zone. You can see the gray area here is the city of Morro Bay. And the city of Morro Bay city boundary actually goes all the way up to Toro Creek Road here. So all of the pipeline and conveyance infrastructure work south of Toro Creek Road would be in the city's jurisdiction. You can see the sanitary district service area here in this salmon color. Then the project site's a 221-acre property consisting of two parcels in the Toro Creek Valley. And here's the alternative project site, also evaluated in the EIR. This is an aerial photograph showing that 221-acre agricultural property where the treatment plant would be located. Again, just south of Cayucas. This slide is an overview of all elements of the project in the unincorporated area. So there would be two pipelines from lift station 5 to the treatment plant. Those are tied into to lift station 5. So one pipeline would take the influent or the raw sewage from the existing conveyance infrastructure to the treatment plant. Then there would be a return pipeline bringing treated water back down to the lift station and ultimately delivered to the ocean outfall in the city of Morro Bay. In this general location here is where the pipelines would be directionally bored for a distance of 800 feet below the Toro Creek riparian area and the archaeological site. And of course, the treatment plant and solar arrays is about that 8-acre development area right here. Here's the applicant's overall site plan showing the treatment plant and solar arrays. Again, the facility layout plan. All of the proposed buildings meet the minimum setback requirements, the height requirements. The applicant has shown a landscaping plan, as I'll show here in a second, consistent with the ordinance requirements. A treatment plant is considered a public utility facility in our land use ordinance. That is an allowable use subject to conditional use permit approval in the agriculture land use category. Here's a 3D model perspective of the two main buildings that would be located at the treatment plant. Again, they meet the height requirements. Here's the proposed landscape plan. The landscape plan would partially screen the facility from Toro Creek Road and help soften its appearance, as you can see in this visual simulation here. This is after 10 years once landscaping reaches maturity. So now I'm just going to outline some of the key issues associated with the project. As I mentioned, the only significant and unavoidable impact in the unincorporated area would be impacts to agricultural land. That's because the treatment plant and the solar arrays would displace about 8 acres of prime farmland. The EIR proposes to mitigate this impact by requiring farmland to be placed in a conservation easement at a 2-to-1 ratio, so a minimum of 16 acres. However, the impact remains significant and unavoidable, as there would be an overall loss of farmland. And additionally, the Agricultural Commissioner's Office has reviewed the site plan and determined that there is an adequate buffer already between the treatment plant location and the farmland to the north, which is a little more than 100 feet north on the opposite side of Toro Creek Road. Next, cultural resources. So the EAR included a phase one archaeological assessment of the entire project area. The location of the treatment plant did not contain cultural resources. However, in the coastal zone, the pipelines would pass under an archaeological site. To mitigate this impact, the pipelines would be bored below the deepest level of the cultural deposits to completely avoid the archaeological site. Additionally, the CSD consulted with Native American tribes as required by this relatively new law, AB 52, and the EIR identified tribal cultural resource impact. So a tribal cultural resource is not quite the same as a typical archaeological artifact type resource. A tribal cultural resource involves sacred lands, landscapes, sites that have historically been significant to the Native American tribes. So for this particular project, because of the overall sensitivity of the area, the EIR did conclude that the project could have an impact on a tribal cultural resource. And to mitigate that impact, the EIR recommends placing a conservation easement on a portion of the farmland where the archaeological site is present. As for geology, the EIR identified areas where the proposed pipelines would cross mapped landslides, as well as a trace of the Cambria Fault. There's a mitigation measure that would require further analysis and a design level geotechnical report, and for the project to implement the recommended mitigation measures of that analysis. As for the pipeline crossings of the fault trace, based on the final conclusions of the design level geotechnical report, there would be potential flexure and horizontal and vertical offsets to mitigate impacts related to breakage of pipelines during a seismic event. And we can't talk about wastewater treatment plant without talking about potential odor impacts. However, the project does include a number of measures to mitigate odor impacts, such as adding special chemicals throughout the treatment process. Also, the facility will have an odor control system enclosed in a building that would collect and treat foul air. For example, where the influent reaches the plant at the headworks, there would be a building to enclose the untreated sewage and to collect and treat the foul air, or an enclosure. Additionally, the applicant would implement a odor monitoring and complaint response plan, which would be reviewed and approved by the San Luis Obispo Air Pollution Control District. Growth-inducing effects. So CEQA requires us to look at the growth-inducing effects of a project. A project could be growth-inducing if it removes a barrier or obstacle to new growth in an area. So that is a key question on this project, since it is an infrastructure project for existing and future development in Cayucas. However, the EIR concludes that as for the phase one of the project, which is strictly a treatment plant, the wastewater treatment is not presently an obstacle to growth because there is already a treatment plant that has sufficient capacity to treat the wastewater for Cayucas. Phase two of the project, which technically isn't part of the decision today, that could create pressure to extend water services to the antiquated subdivisions in Cayucas. And to mitigate this impact, the EIR recommends requires a mitigation measure to limit the sale of treated water for domestic use to water purveyors serving lots within the Cayucas URL. So the antiquated lots outside the Cayucas URL cannot be served with water from this project. Biological resources, so the location of the treatment plant would not impact sensitive biological resources. There are a number of mitigation measures proposed to ensure that construction activities do not adversely impact sensitive wildlife species, such as amphibians or nesting birds or fish in Toro Creek. As far as direct biological impacts to the riparian area, those are avoided by boring the pipelines underneath Toro Creek. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in the next slide. So the portion of the project in the coastal zone, of course, is subject to the county's local coastal plan. In our local coastal plan, we have a strong policy framework for protecting environmentally sensitive habitat areas. The proposed project is consistent with those policies because boring under the creek is the least environmentally damaging alternative pipeline route. The applicant has done some pretty detailed analysis to ensure that the boring would completely avoid impacts to the riparian area. The bore pits would be located between 350 and 800 feet away from the creek, so well out of the riparian area and well out of the 100-foot ESHA setback area. Additionally, the depth of the boring would be 20 to 30 feet below the water table and riparian root zone. Also, to address potential leakage of pipelines into the creek area, there will be flow meters, which would detect any pipeline leaks. And finally, there will be a spill containment and cleanup plan, which includes provisions for response to frack out of pipeline bore spoils within 100 feet of ESHA. So that staff recommends that your commission consider and rely on the CSD's final EIR for the project and approve the conditional use permit and development plan and coastal development permit based on the findings in Exhibit A and Exhibit B and conditions of approval in Exhibit D. And that concludes staff's presentation.
Are there any questions of commissioners, clarification-wise, before we introduce the rest of the players in this? Mr. Molitori?
Yes. Thank you for the good report, both written and oral. I have one question about clarification. On page 2 of the staff report, under the APNs, there's two different sets of numbers. One at the top of the page and then one in the second paragraph of the summary. And I tried to look for them online, and those numbers are not on the maps. So I assume that's because there was some subdivision that was recent. I'm just pointing that out, that some clarification really should take place. Not a big deal.
And thanks for pointing that out. There was a recent lot line adjustment. Okay.
That kind of goes along with my question. I'll ask it now. Who owns the 240 acres and who owns the 9 acres? Is this a lease from a rancher, or what's the status of the ownership of these parcels?
So the Cayuga Sanitary District owns the two parcels that total 221 acres.
Oh, the whole 221 acres they own?
Okay. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I don't know if this is appropriate for you, Erlen, or for David, but you mentioned a mitigation measure about a conservation easement for cultural resources. I must have missed that. Can that be pointed out to me?
Yeah, so that should be in there. Steve just told me he didn't see it either, so that could be an oversight. We will look for that and add it if need be.
Commissioner Hawkins?
Thank you. I was just curious. I'm sure I could have looked this up. What is the anticipated future build-out of Cayucas?
I don't know offhand. I have to check. It should be in the Estero area plan, which was updated relatively recently. So we'll get that answer for you in a minute here.
All right. At this time, Erlen, if you would introduce who you think is appropriate to, as an applicant, to talk next.
I'll let them decide who they want to have start off the presentation.
Flip a coin or something.
Good morning, commissioners. My name's Robert Enns. I'm the president of the board of directors of the Cayuga Sanitary District. I've served on this board since 1992. We have a saying in Cayucas, it's easier to get on than off. So I'll let you do the math on that. But I want to say that getting to this meeting today has been a very positive experience for our district, primarily because we've received a lot of support and guidance from the county. And it was helpful, of course, that the county just completed a sewer treatment plant in Los Osos. And they brought forward a lot of their, willingly brought forward a lot of their experience and support. I'd like to thank first Erlen Thingwald, Steve McMasters from the county planning staff, Elizabeth Zabowski from the building department. I would also like to recognize John Robertson from the Regional Water Quality Control Board. Our District 2 supervisor has been involved from the very beginning, Bruce Gibson. We had a very robust outreach program for our community, and we feel that we have full community support for this project. And we will appreciate any help as we move forward. You guys have the experience here at the county. And finally, I'd like to recognize and thank our team, the people who work for the district and have helped us get to this day, and most of whom are sitting right behind me. So with that, thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to interject with a question here. No, you can sit down, Dad. Do we have anybody here for public hearing that has filled out a brown slip? Or are we all dealing with applicants, so to speak, and people involved with the district? So with that, then, if somebody arrives, I'll open for public hearing. But in the meantime, Erlen, if you'd let the next so-called applicants speak, I guess, if there are any engineers or whatever you have out there.
So whoever wants to get up and speak.
Good morning, David Foot with Firma, the EIR preparer, in answer to Commissioner Moltari's question. The impact to tribal cultural resources was identified as less than significant, a class 3. In the table of impacts and mitigations, it's shown cultural resource mitigation 1.
It probably was overlooked in pulling it forward into the mitigation monitoring plan. So that would be, that is an oversight. It is a binding measure, even though it wasn't identified as a significant impact.
Mr. Chair, before we get too far off on this discussion, we actually did find that condition in Exhibit D.
Cool.
Yeah,
right.
So it is there. It's condition
right.
number 49.
That's all I had to say about that.
Okay. So are there any further comments of staff or representatives of the district, engineering, et cetera? Commissioners, do you have any further questions of these folks? Commissioner Harrison.
I have a couple questions just out of curiosity. What's the size of the present plant? And what led to the decision to spend the money to build a larger plant, a more efficient plant?
Good morning, Rick Kuhn, District Manager, Cayuga Sanitary District. This has been a long road with Morro Bay, ended in 2013 with the Coastal Commission decision to move the existing plant off the beach. The board directed staff to immediately identify possibilities when we were told to move the plant, and it turns out that we're able to, you know, get economy of savings actually works the other direction. Our plant with the technology of the membrane technology is coming in around $20 million to handle just Cayucas. You're looking at a plant now with Morro Bay, they're at $164 million with advanced water treatment. So we focused on just dealing with our flows. Both agencies have tourist influx. We process about 200,000 gallons a day normally. In, well, this next week, 4th of July, we'll process almost 500,000 gallons a day. We also have pipes, excuse me, in the ground since 1954 is when the first structures went in, 1960. They're older pipes. We have a lot of inflow and infiltration because of the marine terraces of Cayucas. During the heavy storms, we'll get about 500,000 gallons a day, if not more. So in dealing with the design, and if you include our problems with the tourist and Morro Bay's, you now have a plant that has 3-4 million gallons a day capacity. And just dealing with Cayucas, we're able to handle the regular 200,000 gallons a day, and then it goes up to 500,000 gallons a day with a small equalization basin. So any flows that the system can't handle, we'll go into an EQ basin, which will be then reincorporated quickly back into the system within 2 days. Also, with the board direction to use membrane technology, we're producing Title 22 water right away. So we'll be able to go into recycling mode very quickly. The membranes, the way that's designed, will be able to handle 2.1 million gallons, 1.2 million, sorry, 1.2 million gallons at peak flow. So this is where dealing with one system, we can handle all this varied inflow that we do have, that we see throughout the year. And it doesn't have to get bigger and bigger when, you know, like I say, with our problems that we have and Morro Bay's problems. So it was just being able to focus just on Cayucas allows us to do a very small, very efficient facility.
Do you have any contracts or discussions going on with ranchers that might use the water for irrigation?
We have, the board has directed to you, that's why we bought all the land, basically, is, and the conservation easement. We have all that land across the way that was dry farmed. We have it available, and the next step is to be able to farm that whole thing, work with the local people. And that was one of the things, going back a little bit, the minute the board made the decision to go off on its own, I was contacted by 4 local property owners. Put the plant here, they asked, which was very unusual. Nobody wants a sewer plant. So we were able to evaluate 4 different areas of Cayucas to deal with the recycled, reclaimed water. And everybody was interested. So the board actually, the preferred site was down on Toro Creek Road. went in to talk to Chevron, who owned the property originally, and purchased the property. And now we want to go ahead and develop a recycled water for agriculture. And that's why the 2-to-1 mitigation, because we recognize prime ag land. We have all that stuff that was not farmed, all the land across the way that could be farmed, that we're going to put into a conservation easement. We also recognize that that section has extensive cultural resources. So we want to make sure that we have that cultural resource mitigation in there too.
Very good information. Thank you. Very
interesting. I have one other question for you. I do have another question for you. On your defensible space, it says 70 feet. Low fuels, that's plus the 30 feet no fuels, right? For a total of 100 feet from your buildings?
For fire.
Say that again, please.
Okay, for fire protection. It says defensible space, fire management zones, low fuel zone, 70 feet with no fuel. That's in addition to the 30 feet. So it's 100-foot clearance, right? Thank you.
Yeah.
Commissioner Maltari?
Yes, I have a question for you. You mentioned a conservation easement. Could you tell me or show me on a map where that is?
Yes. Can you bring up the map, Alan?
Yeah. It's a well thought out plan. Yeah. Yeah.
Is there, can I? Is it on?
Yeah, it is. He might not be able to see it.
That one right there? Okay.
There. Let me see if I can steady it.
Okay, so the agricultural resources are from here all the way kind of right through this mid area, this flat area right here,
right,
all the way up into here. And so this is where the conservation easement's proposed to go, mm-hmm, for the cultural resources, just between the creek and about halfway to Toro Creek Road on the lower section.
Thank you.
I have a clarifying question for staff.
Yes, please.
The conservation easement is covering both the ag displacement and the cultural resources?
Yeah, I believe that's the intention, yes.
Thanks.
Right, it's the intent of the district that this whole side of Toro Creek Road, the north side, be used for the recycled water and any place else we can do.
I guess I do have another question. I'm not sure if it's addressed to you. What is the district's plan for the remainder of the properties that are not part of the plant and not part of the easement that you've already indicated there?
The use for the rest of the property?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we would like to, I don't want to speak for the board, but they've been in discussions of it,
mm-hmm,
leasing it, whether it's grazing, whether it's other agricultural uses, mm-hmm, crops on the flatlands, maybe something else elsewhere. The intent is to look beyond, like I say, with grazing, maybe finally create a public lot just encompassing the plant. And then if somebody's interested, but the recycled water is there to be able to use for agriculture.
Okay, thanks.
Just a point of interest, as to agriculture, I noticed that CSD uses CAN 17 for odor control. I've used that in my vineyards for years and years, especially for bringing up young grapevines. Great fertilizer.
Right. We actually
knew the
had
connection
a contract
there
with Simplot,
yeah,
growers, to bring it up to us.
Right.
Yeah.
Any further questions of the commissions?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I will ask again if there's any public comment out there. Need a brown slip? Seeing none, then I will close public comment. Staff, do you have any other issues to discuss with us after these questions?
I will, just to respond to Commissioner Hawking's question, I pulled up the Estero area plan, table 2-5, which describes the build out in Cayucas at 4,765 people.
Mr. Mottari.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, in many respects, congratulations to the CSD and the people that helped them. Getting a sewer plant approved is no easy matter, as Los Osos will testify on your behalf in that regard. It only took a couple of years instead of half a century. And also, I want to thank and acknowledge staff for a fine report, and also David Foote and Firma for really, I thought, an excellent environmental impact report. Thank you. This is something that I will support, but I don't do it with a lot of pleasure. And the reason is that what we are doing as a staff report and the EIR acknowledge, what we are doing today as a public agency is approving an industrial use in a rural, bucolic, coastal valley. It happens to be a particularly beautiful one. It's one that for many years, people that I know enjoy it, riding their bicycles and so on. But it's really part of our heritage, and it's not surprising that the Native Americans found this place sacred or special. Toro Valley really is a beautiful place, and here we are going to convert it. And it's not a developer that's doing the conversion. It's a public agency that bought land and is now going to put an industrial plant there. And I know we need clean water and so on, so I understand that. I also understand that there's benefits to Cayucas for doing this separately from Morro Bay, but what we're going to end up now with is two sewer plants and two coastal valleys that will now be industrialized. The Morro Bay plant will be much bigger, but it will also include things like a corp yard and so on. And it's really a shame for people that love the rural valleys, the rural nature of our county, that we're doing stuff like this. And we have to. But it's not something that gives me great pleasure. So with that in mind, I would see if there's support from the commission to add a condition to this use permit that I think in some ways gets some additional good out of this change of use in the valley, and that is the building of a plant. And that is, prior to issuance of the construction or grading permits, the applicant shall record a conservation easement of not less than 200 acres of the subject parcels granted to an appropriate public or nonprofit entity approved by the county. The easement would restrict the use of the property to open space and agricultural uses, so you can continue to lease it any way you want it, and would include ancillary uses that do not significantly affect the visual, biological, cultural, or agricultural resources. The boundaries and terms of the easement would be subject to approval by the Department of Planning and Building, and this easement could be used to satisfy the requirements of mitigation AG1 and whatever the number of the cultural resources mitigation number is. I couldn't find that one, but I'm sure it's in there someplace. And I think that since we are going to take a valley, we're going to turn it into an industrialized area with a sewer plant and the ancillary uses to that, that some additional benefit besides 16 acres of farmland ought to be accrued to the public in keeping this this land open for in perpetuity. And if there's another method of doing that, I'd be open to that as well, but it seemed like an easement was the best way. I don't know if there's support from the commissioners on that.
I'll ask staff what say you.
Well, so I brought the language up here. I added the CUL one. I think Commissioner Mottari provided a pretty good justification for this mitigation. I would probably want to look at county council to see if they had any concerns, and also let the applicant speak to the condition.
Well, maybe prior to that question would be to ask what was behind the putting together of a conservation easement smaller than the actual property. for the residual property?
Well, just because the mitigation measure was driven by the recommended 2-to-1 mitigation for the ag impact, and placing the archaeological site under a conservation easement.
I see a gentleman may be able to add to that, if you don't mind, sir.
Thank you. I'm Tim Carmel, District Council. What Rick didn't say was when we bought these parcels, there was an intention to resell them. That's why we have a public lot component that we're planning on moving forward with. We wanted to recoup some of our massive investment in this property, well over $3 million. So although I don't think we have, and of course I'm not speaking for the board because I don't know how the board would react to this, but I do know there's an intention to resell these lots after carving out our public lot, which will probably be about 8 or 10 acres. We didn't have the exact configuration at this point in time, so we weren't able to move forward with the public lot at this point in time. So at a minimum, we'd have to be able to reserve the ability to utilize portions of these properties for residential purposes. That was the original intent, perhaps building envelopes. So I think we would certainly object to the condition as worded now, because it doesn't give you the right to establish residential uses, which would allow us to recoup our investment. So if we could factor some language into that, I suspect we may not have too much opposition to it. And again, I haven't had an opportunity to discuss this with the board. It's a big issue that you're injecting into this particular project.
Yeah, I'm sorry to bring it up at this stage, but this is the public hearing, and this is where we get to play our role. In some respects, the fact that it could be subdivided, sold off, and then developed is part of the concern that I have about this. If under the ag zoning, how many houses would be, what's the acreage, minimum acreages that are required for housing there? I'm sorry, I don't know the county code that well off the top of my head.
Well, so in the inland area on a ag parcel over 20 acres, you can have 2 homes.
Okay, so of the, if let's say 20 acres is carved out for the plant and surrounding buffer, so we have 200 acres that theoretically could be subdivided into 20s, or is there a restriction?
No, the minimum parcel size depends on the agricultural use of the property. For the smallest parcel size, you could, for grazing land, the smallest parcel size would be 320 acres, so it couldn't be subdivided.
It could not be subdivided.
It could not be further subdivided. Correct.
So when they have the public lot, they take out the sewer plant, you have two lots remaining?
That's right.
Is that right?
Four houses.
Yes. Four houses.
If we were to put, I've worked on conservation easements on private property before that did carve out places for homes and reasonable uses around them. So I think that would be acceptable to me. If we were to say that record a conservation easement on the remainder, the use of private open space, agriculture uses, and up to four single family homes to be approved by the public planning and building department, do you think that would be acceptable to your board?
I think we'd want to reserve out a minimum acreage for building sites, building envelopes, maybe 5 or 10 acres.
We use 2.5 acres on the Mino property easement.
We're going to try to remarket these things to recoup an enormous investment of public funds. So flexibility in that regard is really important. So.
Well, is this theory then dependent on doing either lot line adjustments or subdivision to get it smaller? Because as you said, if it's grazing land now, it's stuck with 300 acres.
No, the intention is to carve out a public lot for the facility itself.
Correct.
The remainder parcels will be configured as they are now, and we carve out a building envelope on each one of those. Right. We could work that out with staff.
Right. Two houses.
But if there's only two lots, then I don't understand how you're going to carve out four lots for houses.
No, no, just building, I'm not talking about carving out legal lots, carving out building envelopes within those lots so that when we sell them, there's a place to put the residences that we're talking about.
Maybe the confusion is you get two single-family homes on one agricultural parcel, so you don't get to split the parcel, but you can build two homes on the one parcel if it's over 20 acres.
But right now, what I understand is there's a one single parcel of 221 acres. You're going to take a piece of that and carve it out to build the plant. So then there's going to be two parcels, the one for the plant and the one that's left. But now you're telling me there's two parcels in that piece that's left where they could have four houses.
No, there's going to be one 8-acre or 10-acre public lot for the plant itself.
Okay.
That'll be carved out of the two existing parcels, which will remain. There'll be
correct.
Two remainder parcels.
There's two parcels.
I know there's two parcels now, but I was thinking, okay, I understand what you just said.
And so what we'd like to add to that is the ability to carve out, we'd like 10 acres.
Four houses,
but building envelopes for those houses so that there's some flexibility as to where they could be located. These are giant parcels.
Right. Doesn't that exist anyway for the buyer?
Well, not if you encumber them with conservation easements, then it doesn't.
Okay, that answers that then, okay. Commissioner Hawkins?
Just to clarify with staff, any change in use would require commission review in the future, possibly?
No, a future owner would be allowed by right to construct homes on these lots.
Right, but if there was anything that was not currently allowed under the agricultural zoning, like they wanted to change the zoning or have a development proposal for something completely different, then that would go through the regular process.
Possibly, it would depend on our land use ordinance and what the proposed use is. Any more, substantially more intensive development would require a use permit or a general plan amendment.
Mr. Chairman, if the commission is interested in actually adding this or a similar condition, we could continue this item. Staff could work with the Cayucas and bring you back something that would at least bring you back comments from the district, which we don't. We have comments from their council, but they don't really haven't had time to look at it. So we could continue it, and maybe I'll ask the applicants if they're interested in something like that.
It's not a real complicated process. Perhaps if we could have a recess for, this is the only item on the agenda, I believe. If we could take
correct.
A short recess,
correct.
Perhaps staff and the applicant can get together and try to work out some language.
Well, that's even better.
I think I might have something that would work for you
and
guys.
Comment, Mark, for the question, but you are correct, and I'm well aware of several conservation easements, and whatever is allowed for families or whatever for housing is always designated. That's very true. So
right.
I think, let's take an early recess and come back at, how long do we need? What? Oh, okay, well, let's be back at 9:20, or excuse me, 10:20, please. Yeah, we'll reconvene at 10:20. please. We'll reconvene. Let it be noted for the record that we added 17 minutes on to our recess, a working recess, to develop some language that hopefully everyone can study and agree upon as we continue. Before we continue, because of this break and our inference with the various people in the room, I'll ask for any ex parte from the commissioners. None from Hawkins.
I talked with some of the staff during the break.
Yeah, and likewise, we did the same thing, some of the staff and some of the applicants, as we put together this language detail. Mr. Harrison?
I talked to some of the staff.
Very good. Thank you. Erlen, it's all yours.
Okay, so Erlen Singwall Planning staff, we worked with the applicant and council to draft a revised language here that I'll put up on the screen. So you can read it, and so there's not too much dead air. I'll go ahead and read it out loud as you're looking at it. So prior to issuance of construction and or grading permits, applicants shall record an agricultural conservation restrictive covenant or an agricultural conservation easement granted to an appropriate public or nonprofit entity approved by the county on the remainder of the subject parcels outside the area of the proposed development and any future public lot. Said restrictive covenant or easement shall restrict the use of the property to open space, utilities, agricultural uses, and up to 4 single-family residences, 2 per parcel, on building envelopes of up to 5 acres per unit, including ancillary uses that do not significantly affect the visual, biological, cultural, and agricultural resources. The boundaries and terms of the covenant or easement shall be subject to approval by the Director of Planning and Building. This covenant or easement may be used to satisfy the requirements of Mitigation Measure AG1, Condition 18 for farmland conservation, and CUL1, Tribal Cultural Resources, Condition Number 49.
Thank you, Erlen. Commissioners, do you have any further dialogue regarding this? Oh, yes, sir.
I'm sorry, we have one additional request.
Introduce yourself again, please.
I'm Tim Carmel, District Counsel for Cayuga Sanitary District. Can we eliminate the and or grading permits and just make this prior to issuance of construction permits? Because it's use driven. The grading is not going to impact the ultimate uses.
Staff would be fine with that. In fact, we would be okay with prior to final to give, because it might take some time to actually work out the final language of this easement or restrictive covenant.
Thank you.
Comments by commissioners? Mr. Moltari?
That change would be fine with me.
All right. We have consensus set on that change. Question?
I have a question to staff. Could you guys show us a map of where these lots are? Where each lot is, what's left of it? I mean, I've seen the map of the entire package, but where are the two lots? So that'd actually be
the right. One. So here are the two existing parcels, 1, 2.
Okay.
The CSD will create a public lot that will be what, about 8 to 10 acres, which is okay. Going to encompass this area here where the treatment plant and solar array are located. So you're going to have 1, 2, and then the public lot. So
are you saying that tree line that we're seeing there is more or less the dividing line between the two lots, or the three lots?
It's like the road is.
Which is the road, or the road.
All right, so you have one existing parcel here.
All right, okay.
It straddles the road.
Oh.
Then same thing, a second parcel located here. The public lot's going to take up this area here, so it'll be 1, 2, 3.
So how big is the lot on the bottom, the west side?
It's about 78 acres.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Any further comments or questions?
First, I just want to thank the applicants and staff for working that out. And if you keep that exhibit up just for a minute, Errol, the aerial photo. You can see that this property is part of the community separator between Morro Bay and Cayucas. It's outside the two urban reserve lines, and it's adjacent, and in fact was part of a property that is owned by Chevron, which I'm sure someday will be subject to some kind of development proposal. So I think it's important that we're creating part of a green belt and community separator by this action. So I appreciate the time and effort. Thank you.
Any further deliberation of the commission or questions?
Well, then with that additional condition, I would move approval of the conditional use permit. DRC 20160063, based on the findings in the staff report and subject to the mitigation measures and conditions as amended this morning.
Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Roll call, please. Madam Secretary.
Commissioner Motari?
Yes.
Commissioner Harrison?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawkins?
Yes.
Chairman Campbell?
Yes. The motion is carried. I will now take a motion to take all testimony and documents into record.
I'll make a motion. Commission accept all testimony and correspondence and enter into the record.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. That motion is carried. Motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn to the next regular scheduled meeting.
Second.
Okay, this is the adjournment till the next meeting of July 13th. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion's carried. We are adjourned.